Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. You know, we often hear our reading from 1 Corinthians at weddings, right? It's so familiar. You know, and it is true, and it is such a hopeful reading. You know, it's true in that it really describes what mature love is like. And it is hopeful because loving like that is really hard to do. You know, and it's one of those readings that have been used so often and honestly so lightly that many don't fully understand the depth and the difficulty in loving as Paul has described. Loving that way is hard to do. It always has been, especially as he describes it, loving by putting others before ourselves. And this we know is agape love, that selfless love. You know, we all see the world from our own vantage point. You know, we just do. And even though we know we aren't the center of everything, harsh, but true, it is our vantage point. And if we aren't intentional and train ourselves, that is how we end up interacting with others. When my neighbor's son was in high school, he was pretty full of himself. And one day, his parents put this sign up right in the middle of the front yard that said, "Center of the Universe." It was so funny for the rest of us, but I'm sure humiliating for him. Then the neighbors across the street, who were also parents of a high schooler, put up a sign that said, "No, this is the center of the universe." Typical, right? And it is funny, but not so much when we encounter people who never grow out of that position. Until we mature as people and as followers of Jesus, we often act with the world this way, as if we and our own concerns and needs are most important, or at least those who we really like are more important than others, but not probably more important than ourselves. Strangers, people we don't know or understand, someone who seems to have very little in common with us, well, intellectually, we can say they are important, but our actions often demonstrate something else. Many times, if we are honest, we act as if others are less important. You know, and especially if we follow society's way of judging based on power, position, wealth, or looks, or anything else that the world uses as a standard, but not according to the teachings of Jesus or the letter of Paul. You know, as followers of Jesus, we know we're to love others, right? That's not a surprise to us. Yet, we are to love others according to Jesus' standard of agape love, where we put other people's needs and other people ahead of our own. That is that selfless love. Loving like this is hard to do. And all of us struggle with loving. And we struggle to express our love. And sometimes we don't do so well. Sometimes we just can't love. You know, in moments of frustration or pain, we can easily forget what love looks like. And this happens between people that we know and love. So it's no wonder that being loving can be so difficult when we face a stranger or a concept or a discussion that just pushes our buttons. We can easily fall out of a loving approach in our thoughts and our words and our actions. You know, it happens to all of us. Sometimes our tank of love just runs dry. feels empty, especially in those difficult moments. You know, it's easy to love some people in some situations, and then, oh boy, is it ever difficult to love the difficult ones. Well, especially when our hurt is so great. Being able to love in those moments feels like it's beyond our capacity. And sometimes we just about lose our ability to even care that we can't love. Thankfully, though, we are not the source of love. Love comes from God, and it has to, because on our own, we run out of that ability quickly. And we know this, because faking it or pretending to love is not authentic love. And at some point, we've all felt that. We've all felt inauthentic love, or we've even offered the facade of love ourselves. But I want to be really clear, and we've spoken about this before, but it's really worth repeating. Loving as God has asked us to love does not ask us, nor does it require putting ourselves in danger. When we've been hurt or betrayed, agape love is wisely offered from far away. It is love that it is expressed, often only because we're praying for God's will in that person's life. And this is hard. God's will is always for good, not evil, to occur. This is hard to accept when we're in pain. And yet, when we choose to let God manage this, we can let all the negativity, the hurt, the damage, and the danger be God's to hold. So we can be free from it, as free as we are able. You know, we pray to God for the strength to let go of our anger, our hate, and all the negative emotions so that we can love again and hopefully heal. You know, as crazy as it sounds, agape love opens a possibility for God to heal all that are involved. Again, this is really hard to do, yet it frees us. You know, in our Bible study between services, someone said that they changed jobs and had someone who was really quite evil towards them. But rather than sinking to that level, this person prayed to God to have that agape love for this other person. Hard to do, but at least that person didn't sink to the same level. And luckily, eventually it worked out, and the other person started responding to the kindness and love that she was able to give because she prayed to God for God's will in that person's life. Faith, hope, and love, says our reading, and the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest, but we can't love without tapping into the source of love, and that source is God. That's where our faith comes in. When we're open to and aware of the presence of God, then we get replenished, and we are able to love again. It's only God. God's the only one that can enable love to grow in us. But again, why bother? Does our loving really make a difference? Well, yes. Being loved is so much better than not being loved, and we all know this from our own experiences. You know, and this is not romantic, mushy love. This is that agape, someone puts me in front of themselves kind of love. And we all know it. We've all had a greatest wound. We've all had a hurtful moment. And it was most likely when someone did not selflessly love us. Selfless concern for the welfare of others is that agape love, where the other person's considered first. You know, this is the love that Jesus demonstrated over and over again. Agape love can happen even when we don't feel like it. Who's experienced that? When we know that the source of love is God, then we rely on our faith to enable us to love. The way to love is found in Jesus' teachings and in every example. These are the guidelines for us. We look to Jesus to understand how to be a loving person, how to be an agape lover. Like I said, far from a warm feeling or a mushy feeling, it's hard. And when we look at Jesus, he didn't love like that. It wasn't mushy. In fact, his loving of others challenged people to do better and be better. Some did, and some didn't. Jesus' loving of others had wonderful and challenging consequences for all those he loved, and as we know, especially for him. Now, Paul's letter presents what love is and what love is not. And it's helpful to have both so we can easily identify where we need to work on our loving, where we can grow to embody God's perfect love. So when we say yes to following Jesus, we are also saying yes to being compassionate, to expressing understanding, acceptance, forgiveness, and love. And we're also saying no to condemnation, to exclusion, saying no to hatred or apathy. We're saying no to not even being bothered to care. It's in our baptismal promises to avoid evil and to respect the dignity of every person. Yes, this is very challenging and hard to do. Last week, Reverend Jeannie mentioned a presentation my husband did on forgiveness. And she mentioned how he talks about contempt, wiping away the ability to love. And all his work is based on Dr. John Gottman's work with married couples and the four horsemen of communication in relationships. Now, these four horsemen bring about similar results as those described of the four horsemen in the book of Revelation. The four horsemen of the apocalypse represent the Antichrist, the false Christ who brings warfare, famine, death, and destruction. Nothing any of us want to be around to experience. And when we use the four horsemen of communication, which are words of criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling, well, that brings pain and ruin into our relationships. Again, nothing any of us ever want to experience. Agape love, concern for the welfare of the other person, doesn't allow this. And sadly, we all speak that way sometimes, and sometimes others speak to us that way. We know how bad it feels. Agape love, or selfless concern for the welfare of others, is the work of Jesus' followers. So that's our work. And we're to love as long as we're able to love. And it may require some sacrifice and a little bit of suffering. We have to be open to the possibility that our way may not be the only way, that we may not be right. Saying yes to loving means we can't turn aside when it's difficult or when we see injustice. We have to care. Now, even if we think we're pretty good at this loving thing, at least most of the time, we all have a long way to go to embody perfect agape, others first, selfless love. That's why love goes with hope and faith. And through faith that the Holy Spirit resides in us and guides us, we can have hope that we can love. We can love like we're called to love. Now, sometimes it's really good to hear familiar words written just a little differently. So I'm going to read that passage from Corinthians from The Message. which is more in a everyday colloquial language. It says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep scores of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. Trust God always. Always looks for the best, never looks back, just keeps on going, going to the end. And then the last line says, trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. Keep trusting God, keep hope alive, and love. Like you're crazy. Just keep on loving. We can, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, love like Jesus. And that kind of love is the greatest. Amen.